Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hungry for Answers. This is me, Robin Clare. So today's guest, I just want to read the write-up that I wrote for today's guest episode because I thought it was so relevant and so important. And if you're in this place in your life or you have grandchildren in this place, I think that you'll want to listen today. So today's special guest is Richard Capriola, and he's the author of The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse. And what I wrote is that Richard's mission is to save children's lives by educating parents on recognizing all the signs that indicate that their child has a substance abuse problem. Unfortunately, most parents have no idea that their adolescent child has a problem. However, Richard's 20 years of experience as an addiction counselor has taught him that when parents are better prepared, they find the courage to do whatever it takes to support a positive shift for their child. So please join me in welcoming Richard to the show. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, I'm excited about this topic. Maybe excited is not quite the word I want to use, but I do believe I'm excited because I believe that this is such a very important topic because there's so much trauma that happens in the teen years that we have to learn how to recognize that in our children and know when they're suffering enough that they're looking for substances or vices to feel better about the trauma that they're suffering from. So I always ask this first question to all of my guests, and that is, was there ever a time, Richard, in your own life where you were so hungry for answers that you didn't know where the answers were coming from? And then how did you receive the answers that you needed for this time in your life?
Well, there's been many times in my life when I have been searching for answers for one issue or another issue. And it has happened multiple times throughout my life. And, and you know, searching for answers is a journey. You know, it often doesn't come right when we want it to be there. And we do. Right. We want the answers right now. And part of the struggle is just being comfortable with knowing that we don't have the answer. But eventually, if we're patient and we're quiet, and we look for higher guidance, spiritual guidance, it eventually comes. Not necessarily when we want it to, because that's not always the way life works out. But if we're patient and we have and we have confidence and we believe, then eventually it comes around at some point.
Yeah, and what you did is you gave me an opportunity in the third segment of the show today. I'm introducing a new segment, which is Some Time With Me. I am a spiritual teacher, best-selling spiritual author, channel for the Ascended Masters, and I live my spiritual journey. And I felt that it would be time for me to share this wisdom with my listeners that I have discovered over the many years I've been on the journey, but also to share messages that might be relevant for what is going on in the world today. And so I'm excited that today's the first time we're going to be doing that in the third segment. It doesn't have a fancy name like Clarity Corner or Hungry Answers with Robin. It's just going to be, right? Which is what we're all trying to do, right? We're trying to be grounded and allow the answers to come to our lives. So thank you for that answer. So, all right. So let's get into your work and your book. So the first question I have for you about your work was, I know that you have 20 plus years of experience as an addiction counselor. And so what are the main themes you learned over these past two decades of experience treating teens and adults diagnosed with mental health and substance abuse disorders? What would you say are the main themes that you see over and over again?
I think one of the main themes is that this is a very difficult issue for families and for parents. This is an issue, quite frankly, they want to avoid. They want to assume that it's not going to happen to their child. It happens to other children. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they tend to want to avoid it. They want to stay away from it. They want to live in a world where they assume it can't happen to their child. And then when it does happen, they're thrown into a panic. They're thrown into a crisis. So my goal as a counselor in writing this book was to give them the information that will help them feel more confident about this issue, less mm-hmm. less paranoid, less afraid of it, because knowledge is power. The more we know, the more comfortable we are with an issue. And my goal is to educate parents, help them feel more comfortable about this issue, so that if they are confronted with it, they have a game plan, they have a roadmap that will guide them along the way.
And how, I imagine, when you're confronted with this as a parent, there's a lot of maybe shame and guilt that comes along with that, thinking, what did I do wrong? You know, so how would you coach and counsel parents through that phase of what happens when they find this out?
You're absolutely right. These are many of the emotions and feelings that parents go through as they struggle to come to terms with their child is using a substance. They do feel guilty. They feel angry. They feel as if they have been a bad parent. They question, how did this happen? How did I miss the warning signs? Well, they missed the warning signs because nobody told them what to look for. These are good parents doing the best that they can. But then they go through this whole range of emotions. And I recognize that in addition to my main book, I wrote a parent handbook. And the goal of the parent handbook is to help them with the struggles that they go through. Because oftentimes we put the focus on the kid and we forget that the parent is going through a crisis too. The parent needs help. And my message to parents going through this is, make sure that you have a good support system. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a colleague, maybe it's a professional counselor, maybe it's a support group, but you need a support group to help you too.
You know, and Richard, so interesting, on the spiritual path, one of the things that blew me away, you know how we learn certain things and we're like, oh my goodness. And one of them was that we actually choose our parents. Our parents don't make us, right? Make us through. We're not going to get into a conversation on that. But on the soul level, we choose our parents because we as the child have a destiny that our soul would like to accomplish. And so we're going to choose our parents. And I don't know if that makes the parents feel better or worse, but what I would say about that is that your child chose you because they knew that you could guide them through this time in their life where they're going to have a very traumatic period. And so they also may have chose you because they knew that you would lead them to that trauma period because maybe you need help as well. But at the same time, once the traumatic period is open and everybody's talking about it, you can then lead your child to a place of wellness. And so know that your child is open to that, because on the soul level, they have a destiny that they're required to fulfill, and you can be part of that destiny. What do you think about that
idea? I think that's excellent. I think children do look to parents for guidance, for direction, mm-hmm. Especially at times when they may be struggling. They look for parents not only to be a role model, but to be educators and to guide them through this very difficult period of adolescence in their life. There's no question that parents have a tremendous impact on adolescents.
They do. And, you know, even in my own journey, you know, I started with obsessive compulsive food disorder, and then which then transmuted to bulimia in my teens. And it wasn't till 40 years later that I was able to heal from that. And so, and I really honestly believe, and I do not wish for any of the parents that are listening or grandparents that their teen struggle for 40 years with anything. But for me, it was, I needed to struggle to be able to teach about it. I needed to be able to really move from a place of personal trauma to a place where I could share guidance with others on how to heal from their trauma. So we have these journeys that we can influence as parents for our children, as grandparents for our children. But what we must also always remember is that this is the child's journey. This is the teen's journey, and we can influence, but we cannot change for them. What do you think about that idea? Do parents want to change their children, insist on it, or are they able to go with the flow of the healing that's required?
I think in a lot of cases, parents want to change their child. They see a behavior and they want to change that behavior because they see it as being destructive. And they may be right. Some of the behaviors of children can be very destructive. Taking drugs, drinking alcohol, having unprotected sex, driving. You know, there are a lot of examples where children engage in dangerous behaviors that parents need to not only pay attention to, but intervene and correct, because some of these things can be life-threatening. So part of the parent's responsibility is to keep the child safe, guide the child, and do what they can to intervene when very dangerous situations encompass the child.
So how do they keep communication open so that they can intervene and their child will listen to them?
Well, I'm often asked, you know, if I suspect my child is using a substance, what's the first thing I should do? And the first thing you should do is have a discussion with your child. And that gets to the communication issue. Mm-hmm. And when I say have a discussion with your child, I mean, don't argue with the child, don't condemn the child, don't threaten the child, don't punish the child. Come at it from an inquiring point of view. For example, I'm seeing these behaviors. Can you help me understand why I'm seeing them? So you have it, you approach it from an inquiring point of view. Mm-hmm. And the second point is when you're having a discussion with their child, we're very good at in communication, listening to each other's words. We do a good job of hearing everybody's words. When we're talking to somebody, we can hear their words. We don't do such a good job of understanding the feelings that are behind those words. So we hear the words, but we miss the feelings. And that's a skill that every parent can practice and every parent can learn, so that when they're talking to their child about any issue, they're not just hearing their child's words, they're tuning in and listening to their child's feelings, and they're reflecting those back. And that can be a very powerful communication tool that every parent can learn. And if you're having a discussion with your child about your concerns of their using a substance, it's really important that you be able to tune into that child's feelings. You may learn some things by tuning into those feelings.
So for example, in that, you're having this conversation, and would you say something like, I hear your words, I hear what you're saying, but I'm wondering if what you're really saying to me is how you feel about X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, that's an excellent example. That's exactly how you would approach that type of a discussion. You reflect back what you're hearing, and then you prompt the child to either affirm or disavow that what you heard is correct. So, 'cause sometimes we misinterpret the child's feeling. We hear the words, but we're assuming something that may not be true. So in communicating with the child, we want to get affirmation that what we're picking up on is true. So that's a good example of how we can repeat back to the child what we're hearing and asking the child to confirm if what we're hearing is correct.
And what that also does, parents, grandparents, I'm really feeling like I need to include the grandparents because they're so much a part of this, is when you communicate that way, what that does is that allows you to not overreact, because you're taking a moment to pause and repeat back, and then allow, and it makes the child feel safe to continue the conversation, because safety is not only what you're trying to accomplish for the child, but you want the child to feel safe with you, that you're on their side and you're not going to punish them for their behavior. So I wanted to ask another question. We have 3 minutes to the break. Can you talk about what warning signs do you think parents should be aware of to if they think that their child might be on a substance or have a vice that they're doing?
I'm glad you mentioned grandparents, because I wrote this book for grandparents as well as parents, because many times grandparents pick up on things that they see in their grandchildren well long before the parents even notice them. So it's very important that grandparents be aware of these issues. And I encourage every grandparent that's listening to us, as well as every parent, to pick up a copy of my book, The Addicted Child, and read it. It's only about 100 pages, so it will give you some basic information on adolescent substance abuse. And one of the things in the book are warning signs. Yeah. I have warning signs for a child that might be using alcohol. I have warning signs for a child that might be smoking marijuana. I have warning signs for a child that might be developing an eating disorder or might be self-harming themselves, because sometimes those can accompany a child who's using a substance. But as a general rule, what I say is pay attention to the changes you see in your child or your grandchild. Mm-hmm. You know your child or grandchild better than anyone. So pay attention to those changes. Don't assume that they're just normal adolescent acting out behaviors. They may very well be that, but they may be an example of something else going on underneath the surface. The longer these changes persist and the more of them that you see, the more likely there is something that's going on under the surface. Yeah. An example would be a child whose grades are declining. A child who used to be very verbal and outgoing now becomes very secretive and quiet. A child who used to enjoy sports no longer wants to participate. A child that used to introduce you to their friends, you knew who their friends were, you might have even known who their family members were, now becomes very secretive of their friends. So these are just some examples of changes that we can observe. If they last for a very brief period of time, it's probably not concerning. But if they linger on and on and on, and you begin to see more and more of these changes, then I think you might want to get some professional advice as to what's going on.
Great. Thank you. So we're going to head into our first break. You're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and my guest, Richard Capriola, the author of The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy O'Bear. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy O'Bear. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
And welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Claire. To learn more about my work, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. Or you can find me on Instagram and Facebook with Clarity by Robin. And I'm here with Richard Capriola, the author of The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse. So, Richard, how can people connect with you?
The easiest way is to go to the book's website, which is www.helptheaddictedchild.com. HelpTheAddictedChild.com. When they go to the site, they'll be able to read endorsements about the book. They can read some book reviews. There's a sample chapter they can read. There's information on the parent workbook. And there's also a link that will take them to Amazon, where they can buy the book either as a Kindle or as a paperback. And they can also, if they want, purchase the parent workbook. So There is a link that will take them directly to Amazon. And there's also a link where they can send me a note or ask me a question, and it will come directly to me.
And, you know, you hear Richard as my guest. And for those who are listening that have your own podcast and you want to participate in Richard's mission, which is to save children from substance abuse, please invite Richard onto your show or invite him to speak. I think he would be a wonderful speaker at many recovery centers. So if you want to reach Richard, go to the book's website. Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Yes, and thank you for putting that out there. I really do appreciate the effort that everyone who is in the podcast business or the addiction business does to help me to reach out to people. That's my mission right now, mm-hmm. is to reach out to as many people as I can. The book's website is www.helptheaddictedchild.com.
That's great. So we're going to get into this book, The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse. So I want to make sure that we cover these topics. And one is, What are the main street drugs that parents should be aware of? And how do they work on the teen brain? So if you could enlighten us to that, Richard.
Sure. My book's only about 100 pages because I recognize that parents don't have time to, and grandparents don't have time to read volumes of information. So I packed it into about 100 pages. But included with that are chapters that talk very briefly about the different street drugs that are out there. Parents and grandparents are aware of alcohol and marijuana, but they may not be aware of some of the other street drugs that are out there. So I put brief chapters to give readers some brief information on the street drugs that are out there. In terms of what adolescents are using, they're still attracted to alcohol and marijuana. Those are the two primary substances that teenagers are using. And that's been true for a very, very long period of time. There is some experimentation with harder core drugs like LSD and cocaine and Oxycontin and Vicodin and Ritalin and Adderall. But those percentages are really very low. But what has changed in the last few years is a tremendous increase among the adolescent population turning to what's known as vaping, where they will take a substance like marijuana or nicotine. They'll use an instrument that turns it into a vapor that they inhale. And in the last 3 years, there has been a dramatic increase in the number of teenagers who are vaping marijuana and vaping nicotine. For example, 3 years ago, the percentage of teenagers and seniors, high school seniors, that were vaping nicotine was 18%. Today, it's 34%.
Wow.
The percentage of high school seniors 3 years ago that were vaping marijuana was 9%. Today, it's 22%. So vaping among the adolescent population is growing at dramatic rates.
Yeah. And do you... And why do you think that is? Why do you think that these numbers are growing?
I think there's a perception among youth that vaping and other drugs are not all that harmful. Some of them view vaping nicotine as being safer than smoking tobacco. Some of them view it as being more stylish, more trendful. But when we look at the adolescent population, there are two things that are fueling the drug use that we're seeing. One is availability. These drugs are readily available to these kids, and they know it. When we ask high school seniors, how easy is it for you to get marijuana? Almost 80% of them tell us it's no big deal. They can find it real easy if they want it. So these kids know these drugs are available. The other issue is they don't think they're very harmful. Kids do not think these drugs are harmful. When we ask high school seniors, how harmful is it, do you think it is for somebody to smoke marijuana regularly? Mm-hmm. Only 30% of high school seniors tell us they think that's harmful. So the fact that these drugs are readily available and these kids don't think they're very harmful leads to the explosion that we're seeing in not only vaping, but in some other drugs as well.
So how are they harmful to the teen brain?
Well, the teen brain is a brain that is in the process of maturing and developing. Our brains don't get fully developed until around age 24 or 25. So when we start to put substances like marijuana, nicotine, even alcohol into the brain, we run the risk of doing some real damage to that developing brain. And it's very important that parents understand that their child's brain is not fully developed. So it needs to be protected. It is developing circuits and processes that child will need later on in life. Mm-hmm. When I was treating high school, when I was treating adolescents that were smoking marijuana multiple times a day, and the neuropsychological test came back on those kids, and they pretty much had high IQs. These were very smart young men and women. But what I noticed was that the processing speed of the brain was below average. Their brain just wasn't moving along like it should be. Their short-term memory was impaired, and their motivation was very low. So you might not notice these changes going on without some type of detailed neuropsychological examination. But the message to parents is the teen brain is in the process of maturing and developing, and it needs to be protected.
So in this conversation, there will be times when your kids will want to party with their friends, right? Occasionally party, drink alcohol, you know, get stoned with their friends. We're talking about teens that have addictive behavior. And if we're going to talk about teens that have addictive behavior, I think it's important to get to the core of why do they have an addictive behavior? What are they struggling with? What are they suffering from? Do they have unhealed trauma that they're trying to feel better? What can you add to that conversation about how important it is, Richard, for parents to get to the problem itself versus just addressing the symptoms of substance abuse?
It's really important that as a parent that you get to the core issue of why your child is using a substance. And many times we just want to focus on the fact that the child's using a substance. But I have a chapter in my book on what are the assessments that you should get done if you think your child is using a substance. Certainly you'll need an addictions assessment. That's pretty much what I was doing when I was working as an addictions counselor. That's going to give you the information on the drugs your kid was using, how often they used, when they started, and what type of diagnosis do they get. But you also need other types of tests. For example, you need a neuropsychological test or a psychological test to see if there are any underlying issues that may be there that your child is using a substance to medicate. Now, not all children are using drugs to medicate an underlying issue, but you want to either rule in or rule out if that's a possibility for your child. Mm-hmm. Many of the teenagers that I worked with when I was at Menninger Clinic in Houston, Texas, who were smoking marijuana, when I asked them to help me understand why they were smoking so much marijuana, the number one answer that came back was, it helps my anxiety. It helps my anxiety. So for some kids, they're using a substance, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's marijuana, maybe it's a different drug, to medicate an underlying psychological issue. It might be anxiety, it might be depression, it might be some type of trauma. Maybe they were bullied at school that you as a parent knew nothing about. So it's very important to either rule in or rule out those issues, because if they're present, you need not only to treat the substance use, you need to treat the underlying issue that the child is using the substance to medicate.
Mm-hmm. And in your book, do you have suggestions for parents on what to do once they're aware of what the underlying issue is? Or do you, and if not, how, as someone who has 20 plus years of experience in the field, what type of tools would you recommend to these parents to help their child once they are able to recognize or once the underlying issue has been diagnosed?
Well, the first thing you need to do as a parent is make sure you get the assessments done that I recommend in my book, because really as a parent, you need to know what's going on. You're not the professional. You're not the expert. You need to rely on people that can do these assessments, give you the information you need, give you the diagnoses that you need, and give you the treatment plan. There is no one treatment that fits every kid. A treatment plan is designed to be very specific to the challenges that the child faces, whether it's substance abuse or whether it's a mental health issue. So the treatment plan really is your direction on where to go. And you get that by getting these assessments done that I recommend in my book. Then once you have the treatment plan in place, then the professionals will guide you in terms of where can you go to get the best treatment for your child. Some kids will do very good in an outpatient program where they see somebody once or twice a week. Other kids might need an intensive program or intensive outpatient program where they see somebody several times a week. And for some kids where the substance abuse is so severe and the mental health issue is so severe, these kids may do really well in what's called a residential program where they're in treatment for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, you need to rely on getting the assessments done and the treatment plan put together for your child.
Mm-hmm. And I understand too that Okay, so they've now gone through treatment and they're in recovery.
Yeah.
Then you also need to look at how did it help them to change their environment to make better choices going forward, because it would be very easy to slip back in to the addictive behavior. And so do you address that in the book, or can you share with us now? How can a parent or grandparent help the child to maintain their recovery?
I think a lot of that is discussed with the family during the treatment process, mm-hmm. in terms of what's the aftercare program going to look like. You know, what is the environment going to be for your child when they come home? What is the best thing that you as a parent can do to support your child when they come home? What are going to be the requirements upon the child when they come home? Mm-hmm. A lot of those are dealt with. If a child's in a treatment program, a lot of those will be discussed in the discharge planning process before the child comes home. Okay. If the child is in an outpatient program where they're still staying at home, that's a process that will be discussed throughout treatment with the counselor that's providing the services. But there's no question that parents will need some guidance and they will need some help in terms of what do they do, you know, after treatment. What can they do to support their child maintaining their sobriety and help them to stay away from relapsing back into substances? And that's an educational process that the parent can go through. The other thing that I would say is, as your child is going through this, you need support and you need help too.
Yes, so thank you for saying that.
So as a parent, you know, you will need to have a good support system for you, because you're going to go through this with your child, and you're going to go through a lot of emotions, anger, fear, anxiety. So, you know, the best thing that you can do while your child is in treatment and after treatment is to have that support system around yourself. It might be good friends, it might be a professional counselors, it might be support groups that you have in your community, but you need and deserve to have a good support system that is with you throughout this process.
Yeah, that's great. And so in the last couple of minutes of our time with you, how can we provide hope to parents and grandparents about what you've seen, what has inspired you about what can happen when children are given the support that they need?
What has inspired me is the many success stories that I have seen from young men and women that I treated when they were at Menninger Clinic in Houston, Texas, which is a psychiatric hospital, and then followed them as they went through the process of going through the assessments and the treatment, and many of them went on to residential treatment for months, and hearing back the success stories later of how they successfully went through treatment, how they graduated high school, how they went on to college, and how they, in some cases, went on to graduate school. And just seeing how they were able to get beyond this very difficult time in adolescence, where they were struggling with a substance abuse issue and struggling with a mental health issue, how they successfully went through treatment and turned their lives around. Those are remarkable stories. And those are often the ones we don't hear of, but they are out there. And my message to parents is, if you are going through this struggle with your child, or if you anticipate that it might happen to you, there is a message of hope. You and your family and your child can get through this process. Our brains have a remarkable capacity to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. They will get better. And you and your child and your family can get through this together. You can recover from it. And in terms of the brain itself, it has a remarkable capacity to heal itself.
That's wonderful. And that's a great place to end this part of the Hungry for Answers episode with Richard Capriola, author of The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse. So thank you for being here, Richard. And We're going to take a break again and come back, and you're going to spend some time with me, Robin Clare, and I have some spiritual topics to enlighten you on in regards to being hungry for answers. So we'll be right back. Thank you.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Bierfeld. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corinne and her services as a holistic, heart-centered counselor, visit CorinneBierfeld.com.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life's journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way. Plus, you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activations, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
Hello, and welcome back to the third part of Hungry for Answers. And so, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I am going to be talking about spiritual topics and day-to-day practical advice that has been at the forefront of perhaps what's going on in my life or what's going on in my client's life or what I see in society and in the world. And this information will come from my spiritual path, from my teachers, from my books, from channeled messages that I have received. So I'm not sure where we're going to go. I do have some topics. So let's just see what happens. So hungry for answers. You know, we're all always hungry for answers. And especially if you're courageous enough to find those answers that you most desire in your life. And that really happens to us when we say, geez, something's wrong here. I'm suffering. I have pain which is inevitable, but I'm also suffering. And what can I do about this suffering? And so when you are know and obviously are aware of your suffering and you want to do something about it, and I say want to do something about it because a lot of times we're suffering and we are the victims of our lives. For example, experiences in our lives are good, they're bad, and they're ugly. And what happens when you're a victim is you believe that the bad and the ugly experiences are just never going to go away in your life and they're never going to heal. But when you're hungry for answers, you look at the bad and the ugly experiences as lessons in your life, and that you, lessons that you can move through and become a better version of yourself. But that takes courage, right? That takes courage to look at what's happened, the trauma patterns in your life, and say, I am going to get the help that I need. And I really highly recommend getting help, looking for a great therapist, a great life coach, maybe your clergy, maybe your addiction counselor, whoever you can work with, your recovery coach, to help you to look at those trauma patterns and see how you can heal them so that you can move from a life of being a victim to being a thriver. So here are a couple of the topics that came to me today. The first one was going with the flow. That is a spiritual concept that has come up many times, I'm sure, for those on the spiritual path, but I thought I would tell you a funny story. So I was in Israel with my son, and we decided to take this raft ride down the Jordan River. And waiting online were people from all over the world speaking all kinds of languages. And so as you got to the end and you were going to sit in a raft, you would sit with strangers, and maybe they didn't even speak the same language that you did. And so when everybody was first on the river, not only were people screaming at each other in the rafts, maybe there were six people in the rafts, but they were also pretty not nice to the other people in other rafts and screaming. And then all of a sudden, like magic, everybody in their rafts realized that they can't get down the river this way. So they basically took their oars out of their rafts and started floating, going downstream, going with the flow. And what happened was the friction started to dissipate within your individual raft, but also with each other. And then if you got caught on the side of the bank, other rafts were coming over to help you, to pull you off. And everyone was laughing at that point and enjoying the idea of floating down the Jordan River with all of these people from across the world, to the point where when we got down to the end of the river, everyone's like, have a wonderful trip, enjoy your trip. And it just was so funny how we went from this place of struggle, of not going with the flow, to surrendering, to letting go of the resistance, to just allowing ourselves to enjoy the experience. And I think that going with the flow is such an important spiritual concept. Even in the teachings of Abraham Hicks, they also talk about going with the flow. They actually say, pick up your oars, because most of the time we are swimming upstream in our lives. We're going against the flow. And so Abraham says, pick up your oars and allow yourself to turn around and go with the flow. So that's my first topic I wanted to talk about. The second is, this happens to me a lot, allowing my life to unfold. And we talked about this on the show a little bit with my guest, Richard. What does it mean to allow your life to unfold? It's based on the premise that we are a spiritual being having a soul being, a spiritual being having a human being experience. And this idea is that we want to be able to hear our soul. We want to be able to receive the guidance from our soul, from our other spiritual guides, but even our human guides, our people that we most relate to. And so I apologize to this. Hold on. So what happens is When you allow your life to unfold, you're allowing yourself to hear the guidance that you're in surrender, really, is really what it is. And you're allowing yourself to hear the guidance that will most move you from the point you're at to the next point. And why is it good to allow your life to unfold? It actually takes the pressure off. You're not worrying about, are you doing it right? Are you doing it at all? Are you doing enough? And Abraham Hicks, who I'm actually a student and a teacher of, I love this phrase that they use. Worrying is like praying for what you don't want. Don't you love that? Let me repeat that. Worrying is like praying for what you don't want, meaning that when you focus your attention, your thoughts, your emotions, your words, your actions on things that you're worried about with the energy of worry, you actually get more things to worry about. When you allow your life to unfold, then you're not worrying because you know that you're allowing for the universe to bring you what it is that you most need. And what is it that the universe brings you? The universe brings you grace. And grace comes to you from maybe an understanding an understanding with inside of yourself. What is the answer? Maybe it's synchronistic events that people come to you that you're like, wow, gosh, that's just the answer that I need. Or clarity comes from other people. Remember that other people in your life are like spirit guides, right? They will, or your spiritual team will use other people in your life to give you messages. So I tend to think of every person and every situation in my life as a spirit guide, as a way that the universe is giving me grace by my interactions with them. And of course, yeah, sometimes they're in that ugly or bad category. I know bad doesn't really exist, but you know what I mean. But those are learning opportunities too. And those are grace because that gives me an opportunity. When someone puts me in a stressful situation, it gives me an opportunity to practice how to react. Because what they say to me is on them, but how I react is on me. And so it gives me a lot of opportunity to stay grounded and say what my mentor always says for me to say when people are in my face like that, to say, geez, I'm not surprised. And when I use that, gee, I'm not surprised, it actually takes the sting out of the entire conversation. So I'm inviting you to have the courage to change. The universe will never, ever give you something that you are not able to handle, even though it may not feel that way when it's happening. So I invite you to do that. I invite you to know that you are never alone in this world, that you have your spiritual guidance. If you go inside, who can help you? You have people in your lives that can help you, family and friends and professionals that are here. And just know this, know that you are not alone, that everything can work out in your life. And if you're struggling with addiction, that recovery is just a few steps away from you. And so thank you for joining me today on Hungry for Answers. This is Robin Clare, and I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, CLARE-ITY.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.